Recently, a Jewish rabbi has written a very successful book entitled Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Now, I'm not impressed with his answer. It not only isn't a Christian answer, in my opinion, it isn't even in keeping with the teachings of the Old Testament. But the fact is, the rabbi has asked the wrong question. You see, he asks why bad things happen to good people. Are there really any good people? Now, some people are better than others, comparatively. And many of us are a lot better than some of the rotten apples we've got in our society. But is there anyone here this morning who is good enough to go to heaven on his own merits, on his own good deeds? Is there anybody here this morning who would be willing to run the risk of getting into heaven on his own merits without Jesus Christ? Would anybody have the courage to stand before God and say, God, I have lived a righteous life and I deserve to be in heaven? I would never say, I'd say, Lord, here's Jesus. I lean on Him alone for my salvation. You see, if it were a real possibility, if anybody could get into heaven without the help of Jesus, there really wouldn't be any need for Jesus and for Calvary after all. No, by trying a little harder, by being a little better, we could make it on our own, and there never would have been any need for the nail prints in his hands and his feet. But is there anyone you know of who doesn't need to be saved? Now, I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of wonderful people. But I have never met anybody who didn't need to be saved. So when you get right down to it, there really are no good people. Instead, there are just some people who aren't quite as bad as other people. Had you ever thought of that? So it's the wrong question to ask why bad things happen to good people. The fact is, bad things are happening to bad people. Do you know what the right question is? The right question is this. Why do good things happen to us bad people? Have you ever had anything good happen to you? All of us have had a lot of good things, a lot of wonderful things happen in our lives, haven't we? And yet, just like the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. These good things happen to us and we're bad people. We didn't deserve it. So why have good things happened to you and me? Do we somehow deserve to have good things happen to us? Now let me share with you some good things that happen to bad people. The first thing I want to share is this. God loves bad people. The first thing I want to share is that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Did you notice there is no qualifier in that statement? God doesn't love religious people or good people or American people or black people or white people. No, God loves whosoever. In Romans 5:8 we read, but God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still bad, while we were still condemned, God showed His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you this morning, warts and all. He loves you so much that Jesus took your place, bore your cross, died for you. There's a wonderful story about Moses Mendelssohn, the grandfather of that great German composer. It seems that Moses Mendelssohn was a small of stature man, but he was hunchbacked as well. In Hamburg one day, he visited a merchant on business, and the merchant had a very beautiful daughter. Moses admired her greatly, but she seemed to avoid him out of fear of his hunched back. On the last day of his visit, he went to tell her goodbye. Her eyes would not meet his. She looked at the floor. And the heart of Moses Mendelssohn just ached for her. And as he talked with her and began to draw his visit to a close, he asked her, "Do you believe that marriages are made in heaven?" "Yes, I do," replied the young woman. "And do you?" "Of course," said Moses. "I believe at the birth of every child, the Lord says, that boy shall marry that girl. But in my case, the Lord also added, but alas, his wife will have a terrible humped back." And at that moment I cried out, "Oh Lord, that would be a tragedy for her. Please give me the humped back and let her be beautiful." According to tradition, we're told the young lady was so deeply moved by those words that she reached out and took his hand and later became his devoted wife and the grandmother of Mendelssohn. But you see, in a far, far grander way, that's what the love of God did for us. Jesus came and he said, "Father, look at my people with those crosses of death on their back. Give me the cross that belongs to them." Yes, God loves us. The second point I want to make this morning is this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's an insurance advertisement that talks about the good hands people. The claim is that if you're in their hands, no matter what happens to you, everything is going to be all right. Well, God is the good hands God. If we're in His hands, nothing can take us out. You remember how Jesus put it? He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall ever snatch them out of my hand." Isn't that wonderful? No matter how bad things get, no matter how tough life becomes, nothing can snatch us out of the hand of Jesus. Do you remember how our scripture for this morning put it? It went like this: "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And then it goes on to conclude, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So first of all, God loves us. And second, nothing can separate us from that love of God. Now, the third thing I want to say is this. Out of bad, God always brings good. Isn't that the promise of our text for this morning? The Bible says, "We know that in everything God works for good." But there's no period at that point. Let me point out that this promise has a qualifier. The promise for believer is for believers, not unbelievers. All things do not work for good for everyone. They work for good to those who love God. The qualifier is that God works for good to those who love Him. Are you aware of that qualifier? When we love God, we have His incredible promise that no matter what happens, God is going to bring good out of it. Sometimes that's hard to believe. When a loved one is suddenly taken, when a deadly disease strikes, when some unexpected tragedy comes, when our hearts are broken and our eyes filled with tears, it's hard to believe that out of pain and hurt, God will bring good. And yet that's the incredible promise of God. Do you remember how the 23rd Psalm puts it? It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Did you catch that? We walk through the valley. We don't live in it. We don't dwell in it. We aren't stuck in it. It's like going through a tunnel. The tunnel itself may be very dark and scary, but there's a light at the end. We don't stay in the tunnel. We're just passing it through it. And we need not fear any evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it is with bad things. They don't have the last word. God has the last word. An early missionary to Tierra del Fuego, the tip end of South America, tells us that each morning the natives have a ritual on that barren, in that barren country, and would greet the sunrise with piercing howls and shrieking laments. And he couldn't understand this weird ritual. And finally someone explained it to him. It seems there was so much misery crowded into the lives of the Fuegans that they viewed each new day with terror, with horror. Every sunrise was the beginning of new and added misery and evil. Not so with us. No, we're merely passing through the valley. For us, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And we know that out of the darkness and pain and misery, God is bringing good. There's no need to greet the sun of a new day with howls of despair. As sure as the sun is rising, God is bringing good. As most of you know, I have recently discovered that I have cancer of the prostate. I must admit that it's a shock to discover that one has a medical problem that may be life-threatening sometime in the future. I am under treatment. Incidentally, let me express my profound gratitude to so many of you who've expressed your love and concern for Sydney and our family and me. Your prayers and love and support have been so vital to us during these rather difficult days. Right now, I have some complications from surgery, but I feel fine. My life is under no immediate danger. We ask that you continue to pray for us. You see, we believe that out of this, God will bring good. We may not see it now, but in times to come, we'll be able to look back and we will see how God's hand was upon us, blessing us and using this experience in our lives, as He will use experiences in your life to bring forth good. We Christians don't live in the valley. We're only passing through. Then the fourth thing I want to say is this. Whatever happens, we can always praise God and give thanks. When I was a young pastor, there were three passages of Scripture that had the same theme that I never really fully understood, and that bothered me because they didn't make a lot of sense. However, as the years have gone by, I've grown to understand them and appreciate them. Let me share them with you. From Ephesians 5:20 we read, "Always and for everything, always and for everything, give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's a toughie, isn't it? From Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances." As the years have gone by, I've come to understand better what they mean. You see, if God loves me, and if His love is so strong and so sovereign that it never lets me go, and if out of the worst that life does to me, God brings good, then those three passages are true. I can give thanks in all things. I can rejoice in the Lord always. I can give thanks in all circumstances. And so can you. Can you thank God for your troubles? That's hard to do, isn't it? George Matheson, who wrote the beloved hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," became blind at the age of 20. In spite of his handicap, he became one of the great preachers of England. Late in his life, he once wrote, "God, I have never thanked Thee for my thorn. I have thanked Thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn." And then he wrote this, "Teach me the value. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to Thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow." Does that begin to make some sense to you? If we know God loves us, if we know His love never lets us go, if we know that out of the worst God always brings good, then we can thank Him even for our thorns, because we know He uses our tears to make a rainbow. Maybe you never thought of it just this way before, but God is a rainbow maker. Remember the story of Noah and the ark and the rain, and when the rain ended, God was a rainbow maker. No matter how hard the way may be, no matter how difficult a storm, we know that God's promise is sure, and we can give thanks when it's raining. You see, there is no rainbow without the rain. And God can use our tears to make a rainbow. Probably you never heard of H.G. Spafford. He was a pastor of times past, and H.G. Spafford had his share of trials and tribulations in his lifetime, as all of us will. He lost his home in a fire, and then he lost both of his children, two girls, in a tragic shipwreck. And yet Pastor Spafford entrusted God and His promise that out of evil, God would bring good. Spafford knew he was only passing through the valley. It was in that faith and confidence that he wrote a wonderful hymn that most of us know and love. The first verse goes like this: "When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Let us pray.